Well, thanks very much. It's a real pleasure to be here. And Nathan, I'd like to thank you for that wonderful opening. I didn't realise that you were doing so much in Victoria, but I like the fact that you put it along my timeline in office. It's almost like I had much to do with it. So thank you and welcome. And I'd like to start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And I do want to thank CEDA once again for inviting me. Melinda, I don't often get lots of return invites, and CEDA has continued to persevere, and I appreciate that. I suppose this is an appropriate time to be doing an analysis of the environment that we find ourselves in. Might I say that it is, as has been already identified, uncertain times, but they are not times without opportunity. So given the rapidly evolving coronavirus situation and the significant impact it's having on both the global and the Australian economies, it is tempting really to focus on bad news. But taking a longer term view, it's clear that Victoria today is a story of success. 530,000 jobs created since 2014. A pipeline of major infrastructure projects that is changing the shape of our state, and 5 years of above trend economic growth. The Victorian economy has grown by $100 billion since 2013-14. We've recovered from a state of inertia in 2014 to become the best performing economy in the nation. Our state's story of economic success over the past 5 years will be a standout chapter in the history of Victoria, and you've all played a role. It's not because we got lucky either. We've faced our share of problems, and this year we'll have clearly more to face. It's because we've made wiser economic decisions that make people's lives better and businesses stronger, and because we've built resilience. The measure of any government should be taken not in times of comfort, but in times of challenge. And these are, without doubt, challenging times. Bushfires, coronavirus, the effects of these twin major events have already hit the tourism, the education, and the agriculture industries. As a result, the federal government has begun to reassess our nation's economic outlook. And as my counterpart in Canberra has said, the coronavirus outbreak could see the shutters go down on the global economy. These recent headwinds come on top of a global slowdown, and for some parts of Victoria, many years of drought. But of all the economies in Australia, I believe Victoria is the most resilient and the best equipped to face those challenges. Our plan for this coming year and the upcoming budget is simple. We will keep delivering. To do this, we'll require difficult decisions, guided by a focus on our priorities and the promises we made to the people of Victoria. Be in no doubt, right now, as Treasurer, the collective health and well-being of the Victorian community is my number one priority. And that means making sure that we're doing everything we can so our health system can urgently attend to those most in need during these difficult times. Even as all parts of government are focused on dealing with this public health crisis, we will continue our efforts to deliver on our fiscal promises. Make no mistake, this budget will be extremely difficult due to circumstances beyond our control. So this will need to be a smarter budget, doing more with less to keep delivering for all Victorians. We are going through the state's expenditure line by line. Every dollar we spend must go towards making Victorians' lives better. There will be not one lazy dollar in this budget. We're making sure every grant, every program, every construction project has worth and purpose. Taxpayer money is too important to do otherwise. This climate, these circumstances we're in, ask nothing less of us. This is simply what good governments do. They respond to changing circumstances, and we'll keep delivering. More teachers in our schools, more nurses in our hospitals, more police on our streets, more paramedics on our roads, more child protection workers in our communities, and more projects that create jobs and keep our state moving. Just look at our track record. After our landmark Royal Commission into Family Violence, we did the hard work finding efficiencies to make the necessary investments towards ending the scourge of violence against women and children. Why? Because it mattered to Victorians and it matters to us. There's a saying you may have heard, that which you pay attention to grows. Well, we've paid a lot of attention to jobs over the last 5 years. More people are employed in Victoria than ever before. One in seven jobs in the Victorian economy today did not exist when we came to government. More than 360,000 full-time jobs have been created, 10 times as many as the number of the previous 4 years. Regional Victoria's unemployment rate is 4.1%, the lowest in the nation, and well below the national regional average of 5.2%. And youth unemployment is down more than 4 percentage points since November 2014, with 75,000 young adults in work. In fact, even with participation rates at an all-time high and a labour force that's growing more than 16%, there are fewer people unemployed in Victoria today than when we came to government. This record of jobs creation isn't an accident. It's a result of game-changing infrastructure projects, carefully considered business incentives like reduced payroll tax in the regions, and targeted education initiatives like free TAFE. Given today's economic uncertainties, it's essential that governments continue to focus on creating and protecting jobs. So this year, as ever, we'll stick to our values, fiscally responsible, socially progressive. This year's budget deals with a number of pressures, bushfires, coronavirus, and a potential revenue downgrades. In last year's budget, the property downturn left us with $5.2 billion less than expected. This year, we expect the overall GST pool will be downgraded due to a weaker national economy and lower consumer spending. We also face the risk of Victoria further losing out on GST revenues, despite having the fastest growing population in the nation. Canberra promised Victoria that we would be no worse off when it came to the GST before the federal election. And yet, despite our protests, the Federal Treasurer changed the Commonwealth Grants Commission's terms of reference to quarantine the treatment of mining revenue. A drop in Victoria's GST relativity can cost us billions of dollars. That belongs to Victorians, and that hit could be immediate and quite profound. To put that into perspective, GST grants are about 24% of the state's revenue base. Pulling a budget together under the current circumstances is hard. Hard enough without having to deal with a significant revenue hit instigated by the federal government. And as a state, we'll keep talking to Canberra about this, because regardless of the colour of the tie or your political persuasion, it's simple. All we're asking for Victoria is that we get a fair share. The summer's tragic bushfire devastation has devastated many parts of regional Victoria, and will profoundly impact the budget too. As you all know, homes, farms, businesses and public buildings were burnt to the ground and lives were lost. Tourism and agriculture has been hit hard. We've already provided tax relief, a landmark recovery package, and we've established the Bushfire Recovery Victoria. And you will hear more about major investments to rebuild these regions as time goes on. After all, we stand together as a community and we help each other through times of crisis, because that's what Victorians do. Of course, the emergence of coronavirus also presents a significant risk for the nation, and a historic challenge for the world economy. Travel restrictions introduced by the Commonwealth, combined with quarantining overseas, has cut foreign student numbers, have subdued tourism, and it's impacted consumer sentiment. Education is Victoria's biggest export. The shockwaves of the coronavirus on our international student sector will hit the state hard. As the Premier advised yesterday, we're also facing broader measures that may be disruptive and wide-ranging, including dedicated coronavirus wards in hospitals, increasing telehealth medical consultations, cancelling large public gatherings, or closing schools and universities. None of these decisions will be taken lightly and must be proportionate to the threat as it presents itself. But as we prepare for these significant risks that COVID-19 poses, particularly for elderly and vulnerable Victorians, our state must be ready and we must be prepared to act. It's still too early to predict the full impact of the coronavirus on our health system, let alone upon our economy. But consistent with what we've heard from the Federal Treasury Secretary, we believe the impact of the coronavirus will represent at least a 0.5% hit of growth both this year and next financial year. That means the Victorian economy will be around $7 billion smaller than expected. Clearly, this is unforeseen and significant, and the situation is still rapidly emerging. And like governments around the globe, it will have a real impact on the Victorian budget. That is just a reality. At the same time, we have a few things going for us. Victoria's strong economic fundamentals and our renowned livability mean more and more people want to make our great state their home. This gives us economic strength, but also it increases our demand on both infrastructure and services. Put all these factors together, a markdown in revenue, bushfires, coronavirus, drought and population growth, and a higher, smarter budget will come as no surprise. A tighter budget will come as no surprise. But you can also expect a budget that proactively responds to these challenges. We will continue to invest in the services and the infrastructure our growing state needs, and we will continue to support the people that need it most. Our big bill continues with the Melbourne Metro Tunnel, the North East Link, the vital level crossings removal program, and our massive school and hospitals building program. We're getting on with the planning of the 90-kilometre suburban rail loop to better link Victorians to jobs, unis, TAFEs, and healthcare. We'll build the Westgate Tunnel to take the big trucks off small streets in the west and further connect the city with growing economies in the outer west, Ballarat, and Geelong. And the world-class airport rail link that a global city like Melbourne badly needs. We've already delivered on so many successful projects, 42 new schools, 34 level crossing removals, $14.4 billion in road upgrades across the state, and $7 billion worth of health projects, either complete or underway. Now, these projects have changed the lives of Victorians everywhere. The mum having her baby at the new Joan Kerner Hospital, the dad getting home in time to help with homework thanks to the new Chandler Highway Bridge, the Werribee Prep School student starting school at the new Riverwalk Primary, the granddad reaching hospital in time thanks to the Bacchus Marsh Ambulance Station. We're investing right across Victoria. In fact, we've invested more than twice as much into regional Victoria than the previous government. We told Victorians what we'd do at the election, and they voted for it. We're doing what we do best, delivering what we promise, with more than $107 billion of capital works projects currently underway. All the while, keeping the economy strong and steering our state through the demands of this uniquely testing year. That means working closely with the private sector to deliver on our agenda, because we know that the government, business, and the community are best served when we work together. We're leveraging public funds with 32 public-private partnerships worth more than $30 billion, and we are seen as a world leader in this field. Of course, a build on this scale creates challenges. One of those has been a shortage of workers, a challenge shared by many of you here today. But in every challenge is an opportunity. We've responded by creating the training to fill those roles. Our Major Projects Leadership Academy, formerly known as the Victorian Major Projects Leadership Academy, but so greatly loved by the other states, it's now the Australian Major Projects Leadership Academy, will this year produce 83 graduates with world-class project management skills. We've made 50 TAFE courses free for priority areas, including building and construction. More than 39,000 students have already enrolled to complete their education for free. We've also taken on the challenge of ensuring our tax system is fair and keeping pace with the modern economy. Fairness and equity are at the core of Labor values, and our tax system shouldn't be off limits in achieving these goals. In a national first, we reduced the payroll tax rate for regional Victoria to extend Victoria's jobs boom right across the state. It worked. There are 74,000 more jobs in regional Victoria today than when the government came to office. That's an annual growth rate six times faster than under the previous government. We've increased stamp duty rates for foreign and absent property purchasers who too often pay little or no Australian income or company tax. We removed the royalty exemption on gold because Victorian taxpayers deserve a fair share of the profits when miners extract gold from our land. After all, this is Victoria's assets, and they should get a fair return on that asset, especially when the gold industry is booming. The gold price is up 25% in the last 12 months since I announced the gold royalty, and mineral exploration in Victoria is the highest on record. Proposals to reform stamp duty are very topical at the moment, they have been back in the papers of recent times. Unfortunately, most existing stamp duty reform proposals are the economist's equivalent of Mills and Boone novels. Fun to read, but pure fantasy. Compare that to our actions as a government. Here in Victoria, we've taken concrete, pragmatic steps to reduce the burden of stamp duty. We abolished it for first home buyers acquiring homes below 600,000 with concessions on homes up to 750,000. Under the program, we've helped more than 86,000 first home buyers across Victoria save more than $1.5 billion. Now we're reducing stamp duty for businesses looking to acquire land in regional Victoria, making it easy for them to start up and to expand. We're also looking at opportunities to make sure that our tax system is fairer, more efficient, and up to date. And we're happy to work with other states to make that happen. But the Commonwealth should not be a handbrake on reform by penalising states when we undertake productivity enhancing measures. GST allocations and grants should not be collateral damage if a state government decides to pursue necessary but politically difficult reform. It's short-sighted and it's wrong. The federal government shouldn't seek to lecture states about productivity reform unless they can demonstrate that they will put their shoulder to the wheel and help. We're always looking for ways to do more with what we have so we can improve the lives of Victorians. That's why we have a history of working with the private sector to deliver infrastructure and services with great success. Using tools like equity and loans means that yes, we share in the risk, but we also share in the benefits. For example, our Homes Vic Shared Equity Scheme has seen the government partnering with first home buyers to get into the housing market. Last year, the government made an equity investment in the Geelong-based Carbon Revolution, a business that is now listed on the ASX, which will see taxpayers' investment repaid and more. Our Community Infrastructure Loan Scheme allows councils access to the state's balance sheet, to deliver vital projects in their communities. The $250 million Victorian Business Growth Fund will soon be up and running. This fund, delivering in partnerships with industry superannuation funds, and a big shout out to First State Super for being such a good corporate player in this regard. This fund, delivered in partnership with industry funds, will help small and medium businesses get access to vital capital, allowing them to grow and create jobs. And remember, it wasn't so long ago that the Reserve Bank said that loans to small and medium businesses looking to tool up was virtually impossible to achieve. These are examples of how we're doing more with less, partnering with business to take the taxpayer dollars so much further, helping us to provide the jobs, schools, hospitals, roads, transport, and safety that Victorians deserve. It's helped us to a great position of strength as we face up to the tests of this year. Victoria has been an economic leader in this country because we're always looking for ways to be better, to do better, and to test ourselves against the best. Every government faces challenges. And as I said earlier, it's the tough times that reveal your true character. To that end, now more than ever, the Commonwealth needs to show some leadership. For a long time, even before coronavirus and bushfires, we've been calling on Canberra for a stimulus package. Many of you will recall that the Governor of the Reserve Bank similarly spent most of last year calling for stimulus. We've written letters, we've had discussions. Again and again, we've wanted to cooperate with our counterparts in Canberra. We've invited them to partner with us on the big state-shaping projects that create jobs and boost productivity, the projects that the Victorian people voted for. We're glad to see that they're now willing to come to the table. Canberra must support households and businesses and fast-track infrastructure spending to drive growth and help the nation weather this period of great economic uncertainty. Victoria is doing its bit, but we need Canberra to finally come to that party too. Our message to the Prime Minister is clear. Do what is necessary to protect the health and well-being of the community and to keep the economy growing. Work with us as our city-shaping projects like the Suburban Rail Loop become a reality, as well as other vital construction projects like social housing. Because here in Victoria, we're more focused on securing the state's long-term future than we are on short-term wins. Witness our big infrastructure pipeline and our proactive steps to support the transition to new industries like renewable energy and international education. The next big investment in our future will be improving the mental health of Victorians. Whether in their own lives or caring for a loved one, every Victorian has been touched by the impact of our mental health problem. Poor mental health costs Victoria more than $14 billion a year. These costs are borne not just by people with poor mental health, but by their friends and families, governments, employers, and insurers. The Royal Commission estimates that poor mental health costs the Victorian employers around about $1.9 billion a year. And the Productivity Commission has estimated that number for the Australian economy of poor mental health in the order of $50 billion a year. So fixing the broken system is an investment in our future. It's an investment in our economy and in our productivity. And it's an investment in one another. Because this government is about doing everything we can to make the lives of Victorians easier and to keep us safe and secure. That's why we're working to attract investment, to create jobs, to get you to work and home more quickly, to educate your kids, and to give you the best healthcare when you need it. But as well as working to make life better, we're securing the future for our children and our grandchildren. We're building for decades to come, with world-class infrastructure and a fair go for everyone. A strong community with a safety net for those who need it. We're doing this project by project, month by month, year by year, community by community, no matter how people in their electorates voted. Because we know government is a privilege. And we're not wasting a minute. We're part of the community's shared destiny. Our measure of success as a government is helping this generation and future generations reach their full potential. We've never been afraid of a challenge. While this state picks itself up from the bushfires only to stare down a global pandemic, we are ready. Victorians have the resilience to take us through the tough times. Most importantly, we're prepared for the significant challenge that we know will come our way, and we are steeling ourselves for it, and we'll see them through. That's our story, and it's your story too. Thank you very much.